you find your way this morning in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Please stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. Matthew, chapter 5. These verses that we read today establish the theme for a short series of messages that we'll be looking at. Going to temporarily suspend what I've been doing on Sunday night, and just want to talk about the being a channel of grace for a couple of weeks here, a channel of grace. And of course, Matthew chapter 5 is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, that sermon that Jesus preached outside, well, nearby to the city of Capernaum on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. There's several areas there where it says, the passage says he went up on a mount there and the people gathered before him. And there's a couple places right there where you can just see what appears like a natural amphitheater where the Lord Jesus Christ would have seated himself and been able to preach to a great multitude of folks. Well, we're going to begin reading here in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 5, where you read, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Father, we bow before you this once again. Father, I pray you'd take your word, break it as the bread of life, and break it for us that we might hear not what a preacher has to say, but that what you would be pleased to say to us today. Pray that every word that passes over this divine desk would be ordered and directed of you. Father, I pray that you would be pleased to loosen a stammering tongue. Please give clarity of thought. And Lord, give us all ears to hear what you would say. We ask it, Lord. For we pray and we look to you for an impact of your word on hearts, on lives, on souls, Lord. Pray. There's even one within the walls of this auditorium today without Christ. That today would be the day of salvation for them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And of course, you may be seated. Tremendous words here in these verses. There's a few things, few pronouns I've highlighted here. Verse 13, we that are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are described as the salt of the earth. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. And he gives us this warning, this challenge. And he asks us, what again, let me paraphrase. He asks, what good is salt if it's lost its saltiness? If it has lost its ability to be salt? It's lost its savor, as our King James Bible puts it. It is essentially good for nothing. No good. Might as well just cast it on the path and be trodden underfoot. Verse 14, he makes another declaration concerning us. He says, ye are the light of the world. And he describes that light in two ways. At first, describes that light of a city that is set on a hill. It's easy to imagine that, isn't it? A city that's set upon a hill and how you can't miss it. You can't miss it. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. But he also describes it, this light, as a candle that should not be put under a bushel, not under a basket or some container that would hide the light. No, no. It should be put on a candlestick. It should be lifted up where it can give light to all that would be in the house. A dear preacher friend of mine, you could think, I guess I should preface it this way. You could be in a darkened house somewhere where the lights are off and it's in the dead of night. And a preacher friend of mine had said, even a birthday candle is a welcome light in such a situation. And he says, I can be a birthday candle for Jesus. Well, we ought to be a light that shines. Indeed. And look at verse 16. As he makes some summations. He makes some conclusions here. He says, again, speaking to ye, to all of us, let your light so shine before men that they can see your good works. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, along the way in these messages, we'll look at that in a little bit more depth. But hopefully we can see the theme here that you and I are to make an impact in this world. Amen. We're to be that salt that adds a savor for God in this world. We're to be that light that so shines that this world can see it, to see that impact from us. Well, what is the Christian life supposed to be about? What is it to be about? What does it mean to be saved? Why did Christ save you? It's your answer this morning. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are saved, why did Christ save? Well, the obvious answer to us is, of course, to deliver us from the wrath of God for our sin. If you're saved, you understand that every person born upon this earth planet is a sinner and in need of God's grace, in need of that sacrifice that was sung of earlier concerning or accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, He saved us to restore us into a right relationship to Himself, where sin no longer controls and rules our life. Oh my. To give us eternal life right now. The blessing of knowing Him, of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. But with that said, how should that then translate into how we live our lives for Christ? How we live day in and day out for Christ? How does it play out, if you will, in the nitty-gritty of daily life and the nasty here and now? The Lord's classic words here from the Sermon on the Mount, graphically, if you will, or very illustratively, describe how we are to make that impact we spoke of on this earth. On this earth. We are here to shine a light, to be a light that shines into a sin-darkened world. Let me ask you, with that said, does your life have meaning? Is there a purpose to your life? Is God using you for His glory in His work? I think it's a fair question. God didn't save you to just put you in the stands. No. Think about this. As we just said, God didn't save us. I'll say it this way. I think you understand. He didn't save us to be better doctors or better lawyers or better, as the old saying goes. Maybe you're not supposed to say this now. I was going to say Indian chiefs, but I guess you're not supposed to. That would be a bad way to. Forgive me. I grew up in a different generation. It's a big difference. God didn't save me to make me a nicer guy or a better person. He saved me to make me like His Son. Amen. Huh? To make me like His Son. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. You know these words. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, or he determined to conform to the image of Christ, to the image of his Son. That word conform means to be made similar to something, to be fashioned like. Indeed, he is determined to fashion us into the image of his own dear Son, beloved. He saves us in that. Now, what was Jesus constantly doing? I'll say it this way. He was constantly bringing glory to his Father. He lived to honor and glorify his Father. And beloved, as we are more and more like Jesus, we will give more and more glory to our God. He saves us to bring glory to him. Christian. Now again, the title of this morning's message is being a channel of God's grace. Being a channel of grace. And we'll get to that in a moment. But Christ-like channels, those made like unto Jesus, of that amazing grace that we sang about a few moments ago. Oh Lord, help us. Help us to be channels of your grace. We have the honor, and it is indeed a great honor, beloved. We have the honor to be channels of grace to each other. Indeed, as we minister grace to each other, but also, as we read here, we're to be channel of God's grace into this lost world, this lost world in which we live. Well, what is a channel? When we think of a channel, what do you mean, preacher? Well, channel is described by the dictionary as a passage, a place that something passes through or flows through. I think we understand that. A riverbed is a channel through which water can flow. The arteries and veins in our body are designed for the blood to flow to and fro in our bodies. Electric cable is a channel through which electricity flows. And beloved, we as believers, as Christians, become channels designed by God. Now get that. We are designed by God through which the message of the gospel flows to a world that is lost in sin. We're to carry that message. That message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the light that dispels the darkness that envelops this world. Oh, does this world need the light? It needs light. The question is, are we functioning as that channel of the grace of God? Are we functioning as a channel for Christ? With that, we have to ask the question, is that what you want? Do you want to be? I'm afraid a lot of Christians have lost sight of why they're here. Why are we left here on this earth planet? Is it for ourselves, for our pleasure, our amusement, our glory? Absolutely not. God saved us that we might bring glory to him. What did Jesus say in verse 14 of our passage? Ye, you and I, are the light of the world. And a city set on a hill cannot be hid. And yet I'm afraid a lot of Christians are doing their best to hide the light. To hide the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said that we, his disciples, his people, Christians, are to be that light of the world. Now, even when we think of that, there's many ways we could describe that light, but there's a twofold application for sure in those words. We are obviously to be light, a light, and we are to be used to dispel that darkness that sin has done to this world, the darkening work of sin. And we say that, what do we mean? Sin darkens a soul. Isn't it interesting that so many, And I don't want to get off track here too much, but isn't it interesting, this world, the emphasis on death? Darkness. Every time I pull up behind somebody's car, they've got skulls on the back of it. I thought, what's that about? What's that about? Well, the glorifying and the emphasis upon death and darkness. That's a product of sin. That's a product of sin. A lost world has no hope. Hopefully I haven't offended anybody, but so be it. Oh my, we are channels of the light of Jesus Christ. We are to be used to dispel that darkness that exists in this sin dark. Secondly, the great truth is that we are not that light in and of ourselves. Do we get that? You aren't that light. I'm not that light, but we're to be channels of that light. We are to so shine in this world that people, this lost world, sees Jesus Christ in us. When you awake every morning, your prayer should be, might Jesus shine through me today. My people see the hope, the light of Jesus Christ in and through my life. My life, and of course, my words. Do you want your life to have that purpose and meaning? Do you want to be used as a channel of God's blessing? Well, for that to be a reality, there's some things that certainly need to be present. And this is what we'll be looking at in this series of messages. Some things that should be present in my life, in your life. And it's a, oh my, in studying this last week, it's been a big time refresher to this man. To be, well, I guess we have to start with the obvious. We start with the obvious. To be a channel of God and of God's grace, you must be a child of God. It's amazing what dead religion is trying to proclaim, show. Nothing there. It was interesting sharing in my Sunday school class. We had a couple young men visit us a couple Wednesday nights ago. In fact, they were surprised there was a church open on Wednesday night. They said, we were going by and we saw that there were people here. We just stopped to see what was going on. I says, it's getting more and more rare to find a church open on Wednesday night. They said, yeah, you're right. And they were wanting to encourage me about preaching the gospel, about telling folks how they can get saved. And I'm smiling and I'm looking at it. I'm just trying to follow along with them, see where they're. And they kept emphasizing. And I finally said, fellas, you're preaching to the choir. We're about the gospel around here. We want to see folks saved. And obviously, to be a channel of God's grace, you must be a child of God. I'm thankful that the Bible makes it very clear. Jesus made it very clear that he came to save sinners. That's how I got in. Jesus came to save sinners. The Apostle Paul understood this. He was writing to his young friend Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, where he writes, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And of course, in Paul's words, he says, of whom I'm chief. He knew what he was. And if you're saved, you know what you are. Oh my. Jesus came to save sinners. And the Gospel of Luke chapter 5 verse 32, the Lord Jesus Christ, he makes this declaration, he makes this statement. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I guess in some circles today, you're not supposed to use that word sinner. You're not supposed to call people sinners. You know, you might make them feel bad. I mean, that's what I'm told. You're going to make people feel bad calling them sinners. Well, I'm sorry, folks. I hope you feel bad about sin. I'm not here to make you feel good. The only way you'll feel good is when you deal with your sin. Huh? When it's under the blood, you can rejoice. Praise God, the joy of the Lord fills you. But until that happens, you got to deal with sin. And I'm thankful. Jesus came to save sinners just like me and just like you. Yes. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He's the person of salvation. I love that. One of my favorite words in the gospel, favorite verses in the gospel, I should say, is John chapter 1, verse 12. I just love that verse. John chapter 1, verse 12, where it says, but as many as, isn't that a tremendous statement? But as many as. How many is that? How many is that? Well, you say, well, it's as many as. Exactly. There's no limit on that. But as many as received him. You know, there used to be the bumper sticker. What was it? Years ago, if you're as old as me, you remember. It says, I found it. Isn't that what how it went? I found it. They were talking about, I found salvation. I found. Beloved, I didn't find Jesus. He found me. He found me in my sin, lost and undone, and saved me. And when I heard the gospel, I received him. But as many as received him, to them who receive him, gave you power to become the sons of God, the children of God. Isn't that wonderful? Did you get up this morning? Have you prayed yet today? Hopefully. Who did you pray to? You prayed to God, your Father. Well, how did that come to be? Because when you received Jesus Christ, you became a child of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I love that verse. If you're saved, you should love it. For that day when you placed your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, receiving him as your Savior, is that one delivering you from your sin. Beloved, remember this. Salvation is not a plan. It's not if you do this and if you do that and if you do this, or if you give affirmation to this Bible verse or that Bible verse or this Bible verse, you're saved. That's not salvation. Salvation is knowing Jesus Christ. Salvation is not a plan. It is a person. It's as many as received him. As many as came into a relationship of faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a big difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. You can be an academic expert on Jesus and not be saved. You've got to know him. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, the Lord Jesus Christ talking to those that had come to him, even calling it, now get this, even calling him Lord, but did not know him. He says in Matthew 7, verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Wouldn't that be a sad, sad, sad situation? To think you're okay because you've done this and you've done that. I'm a member of Metropolitan Baptist Church. I was baptized. I tithe. Well, all those are good and important things, but that's not salvation. Those are things that come about as because you're saved. It's coming into that relationship with Jesus Christ that makes the difference. Paul explains the great life-changing impact of knowing Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, I want to read a few verses there. I can't really deal with this in detail, but I want to read this. Philippians chapter 3, see if this doesn't talk about knowing Jesus. And Paul writes, and he says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Now listen, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." How would he know that resurrection of the dead? How would he know salvation? By knowing Jesus Christ. The resurrected life is a result of knowing Jesus Christ. Well, beloved, to be a channel of God's grace, you've got to know Christ. You must know Christ as your Savior. You know, we live in a world that is full of religion. It's interesting. It's full of religion, all kinds of stuff. But Jesus Christ is the way of salvation.
Amen.
Jesus is the way of salvation. The book of Acts in chapter 4, verse 12, makes it absolutely clear.
Amen.
He says, "Neither is there salvation in any other." Any other. "For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." What do we do with that? What do we do with that in a world that demands, it demands that we give everybody their way to heaven? I mean, these folks over here, they're getting to heaven by, I was going to talk about how when I was in Thailand, and the Hindus, they have those temples, and I remember sitting there one day in one of those temples. We were there just to see what made them tick. And watching those folks, and they'd have these things, these prayers that they read, and they'd go around the temple, and in the center of the temple there would usually be some kind of obelisk or something, you know, and inside there would be the ashes of some old dead Hindu priest, usually. And those folks would go around and around and around and around and around and around and around, reading that over and over. It just break my heart. I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know if they were counting their steps or what, you know. It's just around. It's pointless.
Amen.
What did Jesus say about that? "I am the way, the truth, and the life."
Amen.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not through Buddha, not through Muhammad.
That's right.
It's It's not through good works. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name given among given among men whereby we must be saved. Now again, so much in the world, they protest, they're mad, they're angry. How dare you? But that makes me, I rejoice in that.
Man.
I rejoice in what is written there in the book of Acts. I rejoice at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God has given us a way. Huh? He hasn't blocked it off. Over here on Boat Club, some of the streets, they've got it all blocked off. They're trying to keep people from making a left turn off of Boat Club now. And it's interesting. I was sitting there the other day at one of the stop signs or a traffic light, and I see this fella. He comes up the road, and he cuts down through the funeral home over here and then back up over onto the... He's doing everything he could to get there his way. I'm thankful that God has made a way open to Himself.
Yeah.
Huh? And He made that way open in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. Huh? I'm rejoicing in that. Hey, I didn't have to come up with my own way. I didn't have to get my way from Daniel or from somebody else. God gave me the way.
Amen.
Huh? God gives us the way. Here it is. It's through His Son, Jesus Christ. If any man receive Him, to them, those ones, He gave the power to become the sons of God. Huh? Why come up with our own way? Pointless. In every way of man, every way of man is a dead end. Ends in death. Ends in death. Now the world, again, as we've been saying over and over, doesn't want anything. Doesn't want anything to do with Jesus. Now the world doesn't mind. The world doesn't mind a baby Jesus in a manger at Christmas time. The world doesn't mind that. But the world doesn't want anything to do the King of Righteousness sitting on His throne and demanding and making demands of us. Huh? No. The world doesn't want anything to do with that Jesus. Jesus, God's way. Beloved, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm so thankful to tell you that God's given the way. That you, by faith, can trust Him, call out to Him as your Savior. Uh-huh. Have that forgiveness of sins and a personal, I like that, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way of salvation. Jesus came to save. But also, not only did He come to save, He came to send. He came to save sinners, and He came to send the saved. Did that make sense? He came to save sinners, but He also came to send the saved. John chapter 17, that beautiful chapter, we call it the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. John 17, in verse 18, Jesus says this, as thou hast sent me, as he's speaking to his Father, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. As Jesus sent his followers, his disciples. In Acts chapter 1:8, we're so familiar with those words where it says, and ye shall receive power after that, that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Those two verses go together, beloved. We're saved, beloved, to go. We are saved to go. Jesus said in in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That's our task, beloved. We are to go and to be channels. And to do what again? To be preachers. Well, I'm not called to preach, Pastor. Oh, that's not what he's talking about. We are to be proclaimers. We are to be publishers. We are to be those that declare the gospel. That's not just a pastor. That's not just a preacher or the missionary's job. That's every child of God. Everyone that has been given the power to become a son of God is also called to be a proclaimer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. As we read there, we're saved to be witnesses. We're saved to be witnesses. Now again, there's a difference between being a witness and doing witnessing. Stick with me on this. The difference between, he didn't say that the Holy Ghost was going to enable us to go do witnessing. No, to be witnesses. To be witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Well, what's the difference, preacher? You can have all the words down pat, as many do. You can have all the right answers. But that doesn't mean you're saved, and it doesn't mean you are a witness of Christ. What's the difference? What did we say at the beginning? Knowing Him. Knowing Him. The Holy Spirit of God was given to the church of Jerusalem at Pentecost. And since that moment, since that introduction of the Holy Spirit, every believer receives that Spirit when they receive Jesus Christ. Don't just have the words down. Being a witness is a lifestyle. Do we get that? Being a witness for Jesus Christ is being or having a lifestyle, if I say it right. It's not just doing. I remember years and years ago, I hadn't been saved very long. And there was a man in the church, and I'm hesitating even to go through with this, but I've got to share it because the Holy Spirit seems to be prompting me. There's a man in the church, man, he could tell you the gospel from one end to the other. He had all the scriptures memorized. I mean, I thought, wow, that's really something. And I started hanging out with him. I wanted to learn from him. But then I found out a heartbreaking. What he was saying and what he was living were two different things. I was heartbroken. I wanted to be like him. And I won't even mention his first name. I wanted to be like him. And then I found out I don't want to be like him. I wanted to be like Jesus. And I don't mean that piously. Or every single one of us in this room should have that desire, that longing in our heart to be like Jesus. Amen. That with every night when we lay our head down, oh God, I pray that I resemble your Son a little bit more today than I did yesterday. Saved us to send us. When we witness, we're not witnessing of ourselves. It's not, when you're witnessing and you're being that witness, It's not about letting people see how much I know. No. That as best we can, that will just simply be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That He might be pleased, that He might be pleased to shine on others into this old world through us. Years ago, there used to be a song, I don't know, I haven't heard it sung in a long time. First church I pastored, we used to sing it there. It was called Shine, Jesus, Shine. Essentially, it was a prayer that Jesus would just shine through me, through us. Shine through us. You know what? Back in Matthew chapter 5, where it talks about that light that we're to be. Talked about a city that is set on a hill, can't be hid. Talked about a candle, which we don't want to cover, we want it to shine. I was thinking about that. You know, Daniel and Penny and all across the room, each and every one of us can be a candle for the Lord Jesus Christ. Should be a candle for the Lord Jesus Christ. But as a church, we can be a light, a city of faith, if you will, that cannot be hid. Oh, God, grant it. God, grant it to us as individuals, but also as a church. So we see here, beloved, in this first point, that a channel of God will be a child of God. Child of God. I'm thankful. I was sharing a little bit of my testimony in Sunday school this morning. I don't know why. It just, once in a while, it just has to slip out. It just has to, you know, it just comes out. But I'm thankful to report that nearly 47 years ago, Jesus Christ changed my life. From that moment that I called out to Christ to save me, my life has never been the same. Hallelujah. It's the question of your heart today. It's the question in your heart right now. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? The Apostle Paul answered that question in the book of Acts in chapter 16, verse 31. He says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I can only speak for one person in this room today, and that's Jim Turner. Let me just ask a couple questions. Are you weary of your sin? Are you ready to turn from your sin to a new life in Jesus Christ? Then as Paul declared, cry out to Jesus Christ right now. Cry out to Him and ask Him in faith to save you. Yes, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner and I'm sick of my sin. Please forgive me. Come into my life. Rule and reign in my life today, Lord. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll forgive you. And He will cleanse you.
Amen.
From all sin. Every sin. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I bow my head before you. Our hearts, Father, are looking to you. And Lord, I don't know the condition, the hearts, lives of the dear folks in this room. I don't know that there might be someone, maybe several in this room today that are yet in need of Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I've tried to be honest. I've tried best I know to just tell people about Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you, enter in. I'm praying that your Holy Spirit would move through this room right now. Oh Lord, if there be a single person in this room that is yet without Christ, oh God, please, please draw them savingly to yourself right now, Lord. Pray that even as we would sing a song of invitation, that they wouldn't be able to pass off the what you're saying to them, what you're doing in their heart. But, oh God, that you would be pleased, draw them savingly, beautifully, graciously to yourself right now. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you for what you did in my life so many years ago. And Lord, I pray that you'd be pleased to do that again right now today. Lord, I don't know. Father, I don't care if a person, a church member, or what they are, or where they've been. I just pray, Father, you'd reveal yourself, your Son. Reveal need today, Father. We ask it. Not for the glory of a preacher, not for the glory of a church, but for the glory and for the honor of Jesus Christ, the Savior who came into this world to save sinners. Thank you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother John.
Page 353.
As they swing, folks, it's where it starts to be a channel of God's grace. It starts with being a child of God. Please be honest with Him this morning. Be honest with the Lord. If you need Him, please don't leave this place without Christ. And if you are saved, if you know Jesus, I pray that it be your heart's desire to be a reflection of Jesus. As we sing,
pray, and while we plead,
we want to see your souls to be what a Father calls to hold. Will you not, my brother, come? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not come to Jesus?
Folks can see you. There we go. Angela Black's come this morning to present herself for church membership here at Metropolitan. And I was sharing with her. I says, you know, I was thinking the other day, just this week actually, that her daughters are been saved and baptized and become members here at Metropolitan. I said, man, I'm going to talk to you, and I'm thankful the Holy Spirit talked to you. It's a whole lot better that way. Amen. So Angela is coming, presenting herself under statement of faith that she has been saved. She knows the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior and has followed the Lord in believer's baptism in a church of like faith and practice. So we're thankful for that. Church family, Metropolitan Baptist Church, all in favor of receiving Angela Black on her statement of faith of salvation and baptism, say amen.
Amen.
Pose the same sign. And so ordered. Miss Sandra, will you stand here with... You come down here. Stand right here. And Miss Sandra will stand with you. She didn't want to come down by herself. And that's okay. Miss Sandra came with her. It's nice to have a sister. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, church family, you make sure you come by and welcome Angela into the church family. Okay? All right. Brother John.
Amen. Let's dismiss with our chorus, "The Lord is Good." Dismissed.